Apologies.
Councillor Naden and Councillor Munro.
We're all aware of the very tragic circumstance before Councillor Mudford's family. On behalf of council, I'd offer our heartiest condolences to the Nile and the extended family. Okay, I'll call for declarations of interest. Confirmation of the minutes held on the 16th of March. I'm going to move that. Thanks, Councillor Walker. Do you have a second? Councillor Peard. There's no alterations or amendments for those minutes. I'll put that, all those in favour?
Aye.
Yes, carried. And the extraordinary meeting held on the 6th of April. Thanks, Councillor Mockler. Do you have a seconder? Councillor Baker. No alterations or amendments. I'll put that, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Do you have a minute back into open? Thank you, Councillor Ridley, Councillor Mockler. I'll put that, all those in favour?
Aye.
Okay. Would someone like to invite our visitors?
Yeah.
In regard to the proposed changes to make attendance at meeting, and that was discussed at the extraordinary meeting.
Yes. So this report is, whilst there was the opportunity, it came to light just before the extraordinary meeting. This report serves as probably a formality or a procedural issue of being able to resolve to accept the temporary arrangements or acknowledge temporary arrangements and obviously make the amendments to our codes of practices, meeting codes of practice, etc.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I accept the recommendations but add something to number four, please?
Keep talking.
Could I have it read, please, that it has to include the regulation amendments, not our own amendments. So it's illness, disability, care responsibilities, natural disaster, or away from the local area on council-related business. Because that's not what we did last week.
No, there is a bit of conflict in the reports we've got today. Councillor Mockler just raised with me the Office of Local Government have issued one set of guidelines, and the Local Government Association has an additional point in there, which we have to clarify, which Councillor Mockler was...
I think it was the effect that any other reason that council resolved is appropriate. That's I'm paraphrasing, but was something along those lines.
Well, I would prefer not to do it until we actually look into it, please.
Can the meeting, but the issue being, if that's the case, can we defer
the decision?
I think we could make a decision and just confirm it with the advice from the Office of Local Government.
Well, I think if you're referring to the regulations, then whatever the regulation permits, if it permits sickness, illness, and any other reasons that deemed acceptable by the council, then that's in the regulation.
Well, we didn't do it last week. That's what I'm pointing out. So I want it mentioned.
Yeah.
So we're trying to conclude.
We're just a little bit in the dark in relation to that matter that I referred to, because that's certainly not included in the information provided in the report. That's not very critical. Slight variation that was mentioned in some other material that I read about that very issue. So if we were just to follow what the regulation here is at the moment, we can revisit a code.
Well, in dot point two, there, Julie's kind of highlighted that, bringing to our team that's as per what's defined by the Office of Local Government. So whatever they deem appropriate, then.
Well, we work under the Act of the Local Government. We don't work under the. We're advised by, like, LG New South Wales, which is the association. So.
So what did we do last week? Can you just explain to me, please?
Well, I was under the impression that we work under the current advice of the Office of Local Government.
No, because if you ask Councillor Peard had let us all know that he wasn't going to be at the meeting, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then we allowed him to come via Zoom. He'd been here that morning, we were told, right? And he wasn't using any of those discretionary. Look, I'm just saying, if we're going to abide by it, we abide by what the ruling is.
If that's the case, why don't we wait for the correct advice?
That's fine. That's what I'm asking.
Right, okay, and that correct advice will be defined by the Office of Local Government as per this resolution, recommendation.
Obviously, you're referring to the last meeting, and how many days was the meeting?
Sorry, councillors, we'll do this through the chair. If we're going to discuss, we'll do it through the chair.
How many days was the meeting notice, was the meeting notice in place for?
It was an extraordinary meeting, I think the advice went out on the Friday.
Friday was the public holiday.
Oh, the Thursday.
Yeah, right. And I made plans to go away.
Well, that's what I'm saying, I was away too.
Yep.
And that's on track, we need a guideline, a black and white.
If you're able to Zoom, would you?
Well, at the time, we didn't have it.
Yeah, okay, councillors, I'm happy with that resolution. It gives us a way forward in accordance with the terms defined by the Office of Local Government.
Aye.
Could that's all I move that recommendation of this, councillor Ridley?
I'll second.
Do I have a second, councillor Pearce? Is there any further discussion on it?
I could only make a comment through you, Mr Mayor, that obviously if there's some other further variation that I certainly read, needs to be factored into later consideration. We can revisit it at a later time, but in the way I agree, the OMG is our guiding light in terms of what we have required.
It's better or worse. Okay, I'll put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Yes, carried. We move into our budgetary sessions here on our rate models for 21-22. There's two models there, which we have workshopped. And I think rate model one was there.
Yeah, through you, Mr Mayor, two models that you've been presented with both provide for the rate pegging for 2021-22 of 2%, as indicated by the department. And the difference in the two models is that the second model indicates an increase in minimum rates of 1.5%, whereas the first model indicates an increase in minimums of 2%. Why we provided you with the two models is potentially that does alter some individual assessments with going up the 2% versus the 1.5%. As the finance manager flagged when we showed some individual assessments at that workshop, that there was potential for some current properties that are on the minimum to actually reduce in rates next year at the 2% minimum increase. But at the 1.5% minimum increase, that meant that all properties shared the burden in the minimum rate. So that was the decision the council had to make.
Can just through you, Mr Mayor, to Mr Elton, how many rating assessments have we got on the minimum rate?
We can show you there in those models, actually.
It is in there.
Councillor
Walker. Just did a quick look.
Yep.
Farmland, residential, business.
There wouldn't be many in the farmland on minimums. There is 40, but in Gilgandra there's the bulk.
Oh, minimum.
Yeah,
oh,
897 in Gilgandra, and then 154 in the residential other, and 63 in the business.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
So if you look there down the bottom at those totals, there's 101,187. That are on the ad valorem,
yeah.
And then there's 1,198, so about half and half that are on minimums.
Through you, Mr Mayor, I noticed the rural rates, does it change on the twin model? No, it doesn't.
No.
Should not change, Councillor Pitt. Yeah, it should be the same.
4,547,020 on rural.
We've got a recommendation there. We need to.
Can I move with the recommendation in relation to model one, which is a 2% increase?
Across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah. Councillor Moffat, do I have a seconder? Yeah. Councillor Pearce. Is there any further discussion on that? I'll put all those in favour.
Aye.
Against? Gary. Water supply services. And this is in line with our best practice charging.
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, as the council's aware, with your water charging structure, it's set up to meet best practice guidelines, for the government's best practice guidelines, with a view that, and we are putting together, as you know, at the moment, a feasibility study on replacing our water treatment plant and receiving funding towards that over the next few years. And in order to be eligible for that, we need to be charging in line with what's considered best practice. That does mean a proposed increase of 5% in the water charges for next year, as we've had probably now for the last 10 years, towards getting to that point where we're eligible.
I would like to move that recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor
Fair.
Yeah, I have a second
there. Councillor Walker, there's no further discussion. I'll put it all in favour.
It's interesting to note.
Yes. Carry.
It's interesting to note that our cost of water per kilolitre is half the cost of Dubbo Regional Council and also half the cost of Midwestern Regional Council still, and we're still working on best practice pricing here.
Yeah, those two councils have got very schmick
water treatment
plants, yeah, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's correct. We're obviously charging their users accordingly to recover those costs.
Yeah. And there is a pinch point where people just stop using the water.
Yeah.
That's worrying. Next report there is charges for Turrawheta Water Supply.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the same percentage rise is proposed for the charges at Turrawheta, 5%.
And I note, Mr. Mayor, that the estimated increase overall cost to the local community will be $1,590. I'll move that with you.
Thanks, Councillor Mockler. For the seconder, Councillor Wrigley. I'll put that, all those in favour. Against, carried. Sewer charging, similar to water, and it's going up 7%.
And that's been the same, Mr. Mayor, for a number of years now. The sewer proposal to replace the sewer treatment plant is even more urgent, which was identified, I think, probably 6 or 8 years ago in our long-term financial plan. And we're currently moving towards the top of the priority list with the state government for consideration of funding towards that plant. So that one hopefully will occur before the water plant.
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Walker, do I have a seconder? Councillor Pearce, any comments?
Just a question after the vote, please.
I'll put all those in favour. Yes, carry.
So how far have we progressed with our business case in regards to that? When would we be expecting that the new sewage treatment plant would be?
Not.
Daryl's not here.
Yeah.
Daryl's not here, but it is progressing. But as part of our March QBR, the next meeting we'll have a complete update on all those capital projects. So.
Yeah, right.
Okay, the set stormwater charge.
This charge, Mr. Mayor, has been in place for many years and it is set at a maximum fee of $20 per assessment.
$25,
yeah. Per assessment. And it's one that's set by the government as a opportunity to do renewal works on our stormwater. But as you can imagine, at $25 per assessment, it doesn't produce a lot of revenue.
$26,000.
Yeah, I've got to take it. So the recommendation there on page 18. Thanks, Councillor Walker. I have the seconder. It's like pulling teeth, councillors. Councillor Peard. I'll put that, all those in favour.
Right.
Yes, carry. Waste management charges.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. There's a calculation there for us to we're actually audited on this, and we can collect as much as it costs us to actually deliver the service and provide for renewals in the future for things like landfills and those types of things. And there's a recommendation there that I think it goes up by 2% in line with rate pegging.
Yes, so I think I issued sent an email around, which I haven't got in front of me. I asked three questions about the rural waste charges. I wasn't cavilling with the $20 or $25.
$22.
$22, I'll get it right, in the middle, per assessment. But I did ask some questions which arose from...
I'll put those here.
Look at those, can you just...
I'll have you to read them out. And this was sort of following on from Councillor Mutford's questions during our last workshop in regards to rural waste operating costs. That money, I suppose, is actually put aside each year, and I think we... doesn't necessarily... It obviously gets acquitted each year, but I'll read the questions out. What are the actual costs year-to-date?
This is for rural waste.
For rural waste. Yes. What amounts of operating costs have been expended on each closed rural waste facilities year-to-date? And I think Councillor Mutford was actually referring particularly there to Kirvin. A description of the operating expenses incurred for each facility. And how is the projected 21-22 budget estimated been formulated?
Yeah.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, basically when Council resolved to close the rural landfill cells, there was an expected increase in volume in the main site at Gill. So basically the rural waste charge is a contribution to the main site to operate, upkeep and maintain the main site. So that money is basically used to upkeep our facility at the Gilgandra waste site.
I think when we went through the budgeting documents in the workshop, there was around about $5,000 allocated for like armatory, Kirvin, Turawaya.
So we also have the landfill closure plans, which we manage in perpetuity. So we've top dressed the four sites a couple of years ago. So that money also maintains those sites in perpetuity.
So if we don't spend it, what do we do with it?
So we do spend that money back in the main site to upkeep the main site. So it's basically a contribution from the rural waste charge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So just on that, anything that we raise from waste has to stay within waste back, whether it's rural or further waste, whatever it is, stays within waste back and can't be used for waste.
Yeah. Right.
So
thank you.
Yes, for $22 a year, rural residents get access to the tip with sorted rubbish.
Exactly.
Plus the numerous incentives that NetWaste run in regard to paints and all this other horrible stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a recommendation there in regard to those photos. Thanks, Councillor Moffat and Councillor Baker. Any further discussion on the waste?
No.
I'll put all those in favour.
Aye.
Hands carried. The Arrival Living Disability Accommodation, the opening on the 6th of May. The recommendation is to be made progress with it and endorse the official opening on the 6th of May.
So that the question to Ms. Green Grant?
Intro at the moment. Yep.
Sorry.
Okay. Is there any further questions on the SDA?
Yeah.
It's starting to look good. The landscaping is really brilliant.
Yeah.
Away from the 50 shades of grey that
we...
Okay, councillors, the recommendation there.
I'd like to move that vote.
Thanks, Councillor Pearce, Councillor Rickey. I'll put that all those in favour. Okay. We'll all get an invitation to the opening, of course. The Gill Library and Community Hub. An update report there. And at the workshop on the 6th of April, we asked that this report come to council for us to acknowledge the final design concepts.
There was just a question on that. You probably look probably for moving around first, Mr. Mann.
Actually, what I'd like to do is just to refresh councillor's mind, if someone would be prepared to suspend standing orders. Just got a small presentation from Mrs. Larkin. Okay, so that's Councillor Baker, Councillor Walker, suspend standing orders. Now, where is Mrs. Larkin? Thank you. Ross, would you like to come down here so you could see this presentation? Okay.
Shuffle around a little bit somehow.
Good.
You want to go
first?
Yeah,
I think I've got it.
Go.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, as you see, you can. Okay, so
just
what business. Mrs. Larkin, just go through this short presentation. There's about six slides to it, I think.
Yeah, so just be through you, Mr. Mayor, just before Catherine starts there. Yeah, so we just wanted to run council through where we've got to date with the community consultation session.
Yeah.
We did go through the individual feedback that we got at the workshop on the 6th of April. But, yeah, so I'll just hand over to Catherine to sort of run through exactly where we got to in that session.
Yeah. So I just want to give the overview of the sessions that we have held. So they commenced the series of the consultations, particularly around the Gill Library Hub and the CHD, commenced on Friday the 19th of March. We had around 50 people attend those ones, and then again on Tuesday the 23rd of March we had our business breakfast, 16 in attendance. Around this time we got feedback that our promotion of those sessions weren't wide enough. So what we did then was an all of Shire mailer to ensure that people were aware of those sessions. And the second thing that we did is on the Thursday the 25th of March, we also took that session live on Facebook so that people could watch from the comfort of their own home, but it also stays now on Facebook so people can access that and watch that video at any point. So that's still on our Facebook page. So we had people in that session then, only around 10 estimates, with about 58 online watching at any point. And we had our final one of those sessions on Wednesday at 5:30 with around 25 people. So how we advertised those was emails out to our business and community groups, listings. It was in the Gilganja Weekly, on War FM through our blockhead reader, through Facebook posts, as I said, that all of Shire mail out as we realised that we weren't reaching, you know, not everyone is on Facebook, not everyone reads the paper, and how can we ensure that we are getting as many people within the Shire understanding and knowing when these sessions are on. We then had information at the Gill and the library in terms of the plans and the presentations, and you know, we were obviously monitoring as well conversations happening publicly on Facebook groups outside of ours. So that's an overview of the sessions. So from that we calculated that we'd probably reached about 150 people either attending or watching those sessions on Facebook. We, through that, asked people to submit formally any submissions or any feedback regarding the plans or any questions that they might have regarding the projects. We received 18 formal submissions during those series of workshop presentations. Prior to that, 16th when they started, we received 9, and they were all quite negative, particularly around the issue of the relocation of the toilets. Since we commenced the sessions, we received another 9. 4 of those were again negative, and 5 of those were quite positive towards the project and the vision as a whole. So we provided all of those 18 formal submissions, as well as our council Facebook page comments, people that had commented on that live session to councillors at their workshop on Tuesday the 6th of April, and as well any of the questions that we noted through each of those sessions, as well as on Facebook Live, have been collated into a frequently asked questions document, which is available on our website, and to be updated, you know, with anything else that's coming along and out.
And just while we're on that one, back on that slide, that as one of the presenters at those meetings, I think that's a fair assessment of actually what happened, was that there was a significant amount of misunderstanding and significant lack of full information prior to those sessions, and that created some of that negative feedback. Not all. There was some people who still have genuine concerns about it, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. But what I did find as a presenter, particularly say at that first meeting where there was over 50 people who were really challenging a lot of what we were presenting, I felt that the information that was provided on that day actually did satisfy a lot of those people as to why the reasoning, I guess, behind where we'd got to as a council on this one. So, yeah.
So out of all of those sessions and the people that we have spoken with, some of the really key issues that were raised through those sessions, in particular, was the relocation of those public toilets, the demolition, the cost, the construction of the new ones, and then access to amenities throughout the construction process. That was probably the biggest. There was also some questions around the plaza and the street stall and the impacts to businesses and users of the street stall during that time. Car parking came up, especially around all abilities access in that plaza area. The CHD timeframes and when the centre is expected to be open again. With the plaza being potentially new green space, there was a lot of conversation around the maintenance of these green areas and how we can ensure that those spaces, beautiful as they are, continue to be that way. And then some questioning around grant funding and purchase cost by council in terms of the target building itself, or budgets, or where we're accessing the funding from. So there were the issues highlighted, the big ones issues highlighted, and then out of that 6th of April workshop, councillors had then asked for a report from staff so that they can lead to a formal resolution to progress to final design of the project. In terms of consultation from here, so those series of workshops have now been complete in terms of feedback into the concept designs for the library hub and the plaza space. We will continue consultation now in terms of project ongoing, so having those facts on the website and promoting where you can find those and where you can find access to those information. There'll be regular updates on that same project page as we move through. Always and at any point we encourage feedback from the community and have your say and ask council questions on that website, and we'll move now into kind of general project information sessions if that's where we're heading after today. So that will just be at critical points throughout that project and throughout any of our projects with council, having those sessions made available in a variety of ways for people to come along and learn about those. It's expected that those sessions will also talk about other council projects. So, for example, the one happening this Friday, key one will be discussing the library hub and the CHC in follow-up of that last series of consultation, but we'll also have a look at the Gilgandra Region Tourism website that we're looking to launch shortly, as well as a social pinpoint map, which is an interactive mapping showing council projects. So the flood damage works is one of the key ones we'd like to focus on first for that. And it's basically, you can click on the road, see what works are happening, see when the crews are expected to be there, and have a look at the budgets allocated with those works. So we'd like to kind of make those sessions more broad. So bringing all of that back, and the reason why we're having a look at the library hub and having a look at the plaza and what is this all about, we considered where the plaza project came from, even just in terms of the library hub. There was a potential use to use the archway that's existing in the Guild building now, and that having that connection from Miller Street through to the Windmill Walk. A key to that investment that council has already put in out the back down there with caravan parking and with the dump point, like to open that space up through to the Windmill Walk and that connection through to the Cultural Centre and the Real Museum. And this is all about that investment of that activation into the CBD. So we've spoken, I've had a look, I've gone back through urban design planning from 10 years ago, I've had a look at the Gilgandra Alive and the progress.
Back to both Gilgandra, was it?
Went way back in time.
There was a CBD master plan that was, which included the beautification of Bridge Street and stuff like that, but that was, it was developed around the time that YJ was.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Complete overflow.
Yeah.
So you have a look at the outcomes of all of that history, and then even in the last few years where we've looked at our activation blueprint in 2019, the cultural, the Uganda Cultural Precinct in 2018, but all those goals and those outcomes really seem to align in terms of, you know, we're looking to have great spaces for our locals, somewhere to stop and stay for visitors, somewhere that's nice and appealing, nice green spaces, all, you know, the plans might edit a little bit, but what we're trying to achieve for the community has really been that same process, you know, the same all the way along. What we're committed to with that activation strategy and that cultural precinct are all of those goals. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of the things that we've done in that space, and whether, hopefully it would work. I've got a video of the Under the Guns event.
So just before you go on to that,
yeah.
Catherine. So, as Catherine touched on there, these plans are something that is not today's council. It's not the last council. It's about three or four councils ago, terms, when it started. And right back with Advanced Gilgandra, that through that group, and then on to the Complete Urban when the fire occurred, right through till now. There's actually been solid plans there, and when you look at them, we haven't varied from them, we haven't wavered from them. Yeah, there's been elements that have been done slightly different because things have changed, a target closed or a fire happened or whatever it might be, but overall we've really stuck to that plan right through. And the GIL activation blueprint that we developed a couple of years ago was really dragging all those things together into one document, updating it to the situation right now with the target closure, and then progressing from there. And so it's not something that has occurred overnight. I've been here for a long time, probably too long, but the situation is that a lot of those things were actually put in the plans by either council with volunteer groups or council with committees over many, many years. And that's still progressing that way. And I just, before you go off that slide, that top one there looks like it's a setup. That's yesterday behind the shops. So that's yesterday at lunchtime behind the shops. It just so happened there was some older style came through with the newer style, but as you can see, there was a full row, and that's a daily occurrence through the winter months now in Gilgandra, which is something I didn't think I'd see. It's a great progression.
Not from the no man's land a few years ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Elton, can I just ask you, because when Councillor Naden and myself went to one of the community presentations, the plan that you were showing the community was different to the plan that her and I, right? Joe's nodding. And now I just want to know who voted on that to change the entrance, because we had actually said that as a council we wanted it as an inclusive community to have the entrance on the main street. So who voted to move it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, you'll be voting on that this afternoon, Councillor Baker. Like to make a decision about whether you accept that plan to move from concept design into final design.
Can I answer that too?
Well,
I
can.
Yeah, please.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Councillor Baker, when we originally came to council, and this was late last year, there was a report that I tabled which asked for determination on three issues, and I think I have referred to it in today's report.
No, it's on here.
Yeah.
In December.
Yeah, in December. The workshops that we had with council subsequently, which were not reports to council, were where we looked at what this plaza meant for the basically opening up the plaza and the library and recognising that there was an opportunity there. And that's when we moved the door from straight through the main street to the side. And the plans that we presented to these workshops, they did have a door on the main street, which could still be there, but we also had the main entrance through that archway. So that's why this report's being brought to council today, to say this was the resolution you made in December, and we've workshopped this on two occasions, and this is basically asking you to revisit that and support this new design and the change to the design.
That's
part of the
As part of the inclusiveness to the community was why, as councillors, we voted to have it at the front so that people on the street came in, not turning your back and only accessing it through the plaza.
Yeah, again, through you, Mr. Mayor. This was an iterative process, I guess. So what this new design does is it doesn't mean you turn your back, and it does still give us that frontage and that activated frontage to the library. It basically means that the main entrance now being off the plaza, the positive of this, is it's much better physical access. What we would have had to do to the front of the building to maintain that entrance off Miller Street was going to be changing that facade to widen it. And I know it's only a drop of about that much, but that's would have meant that we had quite a long ramp to get the accessibility requirements or meet the accessibility requirements. So that's basically been our trade-off, Councillor.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, just to follow on from...
That's me.
Yeah, just to follow on from what the directors said, the situation was that as soon as we moved to the point where the designer identified that the outdoor open space of the plaza was something that was totally underutilised at the moment, he saw the vision for the opportunity there, which was part of plans really from us that he looked at. He looked at all those old plans. He walked around with the structural engineers, he had a good look with his landscaper, and they all agreed that there was a great space there that could complement what we were doing inside to become an inside-outdoor space that the community could use as a total community space. But to do that, he suggested to us that there was an opportunity there for us to actually have that flow from the inside area to the outside area via the main entrance coming off the plaza area, but towards the front with Miller Street. And he felt that it had limited impact on Miller Street because he could still achieve everything we wanted to achieve with the Miller Street frontage, if you like, but that it really activated the open space at the same time. So that was sort of what I took out of that as the logic and the reasoning that group of professionals came up with as an opportunity for us, and that's what they presented.
Yeah.
And that was, through Mr. Mayor, just to add to that, there's a workshop held which I remember chairing, and your absence, Sue, but Ash Dunn, the architect, was here, and he gave us three questions we had to answer to allow, you know, a concept design to progress.
In a workshop. So could I have zoomed in if I'd known?
Absolutely. I assume. Those issues were around access off Miller Street, the moving of the toilets to the inside of the building, and around the roof structure, whether or not it was going to be, you know, what do you call it, a box gutter design or a overall restructure, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that's what they were? If my memory serves me right.
Thank you.
Going back and looking at the notes.
Have you been any of the community consultations?
No.
I just don't think we're listening to
the
community.
Well, the last community consultation meeting, I was away at a funeral.
That's right.
Excuse me, the plans we're looking at today to endorse does have entrance off Miller Street.
Well, it's all the stuff I'm hearing,
in
Mr. Mayor, about...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, not for the library building itself, but for the business incubator on the end. If you look there, the actual primary entrance to the building is from the plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the timing around this was December last year we had the workshop. On the 3rd of December we had the workshop. That informed, we obviously needed to make some, informed decisions around how we progress with the grant application under the High Street Grants application. So, and the grant application was lodged in January. So there was some timings around that. It was unfortunate that there were councils away on that day, but that was the day where we spoke about the architects. You know, he spoke about the vision and the opportunities, and which we quite got enthused about, which then led into the grant application, which was in January, which then subsequently informed our plan
since. Through you, Mr. Mayor, can I just draw your attention to that box on today's report? And it does highlight when you first resolved retain the main entry demolish. So that was where we got to, councillor.
That's Miller Street.
At that time.
Yeah, and retain the main entry on Miller Street, that's right.
Yeah.
So.
And there was a step, Councillor Baker, there was a step there through the chair, there's a step there that you were absent that, you know, informed the decision to look at how we then incorporate that public open space next to us, which is where how we've got to the decision today, to start looking at how we best utilise that space next to the library, which, you know, which has resulted in the discussion of saying whether the toilet block should be relocated or not.
With the new council, you might get some funding to give them a bit of a dashboard so that the councillors can be informed.
That'll be highlights. Certainly. Thank you, Councillor.
Can I, through you, Doug, can I speak? I measured the... I'd be disappointed to see the plaza go. I measured it, and the toilets as they are now, with a 1.5 metres discretion area away from the toilets, take up 47% of that width of that building. So it's half of it gone.
Of the plaza space.
Of the plaza space. And if you... 1.5 metres discretion from the target building wall, the library wall, is 10% or under 10% taken up of the plaza. So I think it's an opportunity lost. Maybe there's other reasons that we don't go on with it, but I think it will make a huge difference without it to the precinct.
Should we be having a discussion in a council meeting about suspended spending?
No. We've just covered this. It's been a good discussion.
Yeah.
We can't watch the video on the guns.
No, I didn't
watch. Okay, right. Well, call yeah. Me. I'll call for a motion to resume standing orders.
Oh,
is it in a directory?
Sorry, I think Mrs. Larkin had a...
Is it in a directory somewhere?
No, it's a Dropbox.
Just
we might watch it at the end of the meeting, Councillor.
And just through you, Mr. Mayor, just before you go again, seeing as we can't play the video, which I'd just like to commend the staff that were involved in that and the vision they had to put that together in a 6 to 8 week period, the under the guns. That was one of the most successful, I might be biased, but that was one of the most successful events I've been involved in. And couldn't be prouder of the amount of and the enjoyment that people in the community got out of that event. And I really think it did highlight that the area that we're putting together down there really does serve a purpose for the community.
Before we move from where we are, Doug, is budget, how's the library budget going? Is there issues or... with completing
No, there aren't
issues
at the moment.
The thing is, the plaza is subject to grant funding.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't got approval on that yet. We're expecting it sort of in the next month, I think, if my memory serves me right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the advice was due at the end of this month.
Yeah, there you go.
But by the time the council adopts their budget for next year, you will know whether that's a grant runs up us.
Okay, councillors, I think we've built on this line up. Could we have a motion move back into Councillor Michael, Councillor Pearce? I'll put that all those in favour. Okay, we have that report with the recommendation on page 24. If I get the right report. Sorry, councillors. The recommendation I refer to is page 30.
I'll move that recommendation. Will those recommendations be supported?
Thanks, yes. Councillor Moffat. Do I have a seconder?
Second, Mr.
Moore. Councillor Walker. Is there any further discussion on it? If not, I'll put all those in favour. Please raise your right hand.
Aye.
All those against? Clear it carried. A grant funding opportunity for the planning board. Mr. Matheson, do you want to speak to that?
So through you, Mr. Mayor, basically this is a requirement by the state government, Department of Planning, that all development applications, complying development certificates, will come through the planning portal. So the applicant has the ability to upload themselves or come through council. So we're going to have to get ourselves in a position to accommodate that, and we're working towards now educating the community and informing the community on how we do that.
How much would you grant funds of up to $50,000?
Yep, so they're offering us $50,000 to do what we need to do with IT systems and informing the community training.
Does this form part, through you, Mr. Mayor, probably Mr. Alfred, does this actually form part of our business review that you were about to conduct, or the systems review?
Oh, through you, Mr. Mayor, not particularly, Councillor Walker. The review we're doing is of all our IT systems, and flowing into, I guess, workflow and that sort of thing to make sure we're doing efficiently and all that type of thing. Yeah. I wouldn't have said it stretched this far, because this is more a grant opportunity for a particular purpose.
Yeah, so the Department of Planning, this is a requirement under legislation, so we've got no option that we've got to do it. So they're offering a carrot now to get councils up to speed with how to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd like to think it's an opportunity where we can actually process applications online and accept payment online, but I don't know how far we go with that system.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, just on your question there, Councillor Walker, with the online payments and that sort of thing, that will form part of this review.
Yeah.
But as Mr. Matheson was saying, like, from the planning point of view, I think there's an expectation there shortly that all councils will be online.
Pretty much by the 1st of July this year, all councils must be online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the Eastern Seaboard are basically, the bigger councils are already operating under this system, whereas the Western councils are a bit slower.
Yeah.
But they are having issues with the portal themselves, so it's a work in progress.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, Lindsay's mentioned the term carrot. Is the carrot going to be big enough to cover the costs, estimated costs?
Unknown. And it's also a short time frame to actually expend it.
Yeah. So you've got to spend it quickly.
Yeah.
Is there any other councils around here locally, or...?
We have had discussions with Canamble, who are looking to do community consultation, so we're looking to actually formulate some education programs with the neighbouring council, just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay, councillors, we've got the recommendation there. Thanks, Councillor Baker. Have a second, Councillor Wrigley. I'll put that, all those in favour.
Aye.
Yes, go. Committee meetings for notation. One there is the liquor accord. The taxi is a disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a bit more work to do on it, on this committee. I'll update councils while the liquor accord went on it. Then we reconvene.
Okay. A recommendation on page 37 of the Dance Committee has been noted.
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Moffat, Councillor Peart. I'll put that, all those in favour.
Aye.
Yes, carried. Reports for information and notation, statement of bank balances, various fund balances and investments. Outstanding matters from previous meetings. Development applications.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I please ask about the one that Catherine Larkin put in, please, for the Cultural Heritage Centre? What plans have been approved for?
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, the development application has been lodged and processed and approved. So the applicant is now to lodge the construction certificate to...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
and right. Just answer that question before we go to a vote, Mr. Mayor, that those, if my memory serves me correctly, Councillor Baker, those DA plans were actually in last month's business paper as well.
Yeah, Council actually approved it.
Yeah, we approved them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd ask the director.
Yeah. But just to jog your memory.
Okay, so there's a recommendation on page 44. Have you noted? Councillor Mockler, Councillor Beard, I'll put that, all those in favour.
Aye.
Against, carried. There's a late report there coming on the end in regard to the Jack Tanning hostel lease, with a recommendation that authority be granted to sign and seal the new lease to the Jack Tanning Aboriginal Corporation. It's been a very successful partnership. Yeah. How many years?
I'd like to move that recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor Pearce. Seconder, Councillor Walker. Put that, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carry. That comes to the conclusion of the formal meeting. 2 minutes, 5 minutes past five, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thanks for your attendance, councillors.
Thank you, Dave.
And once again, our thoughts.